really can only come through faith. Faith, not in my faith, but in your faith, the individual faith. I might have faith in Jesus to be saved. There's another man who does not have faith to be saved. He cannot be saved until he has faith. I have faith in him. Maybe you do not have faith in him, but that it isn't for you. Someone met me not long ago and said, Brother Brenner, he's a minister of a church who does not believe in divine Jesus. I would not criticize any church that makes me believe. Everybody has a right just like we have the right. We can eat anything that we want to. And so, eat whatever you think is right. If you do not believe in divine healing, then I wouldn't have a solid leader, I wouldn't be here. I'd be doing something else. But the minister said to me, he said, Brother Brian, if God had met you and gave you that, the praise of the state, so if you could go out there to the hospital, and say, all you sick people, rise up, follow me out. And if you're truly a man sent from God, that everyone doesn't follow you out there. But I said, well, brother, were you called of God to preach the gospel of the saving grace of Christ? He said, I was. I said, then as you go down here to the saloon, tell all those drunk people and all, come follow me out, you're all saved. He said, I could have been believing, I said, so could I. If they were believing, but there is, if you believe, it's only by faith you believe. How signs and wonders are done, truly they are prophetic gifts and so forth. Many people might not want to believe that. He said, that man said, I do not believe it. I said, it wasn't for you, it was for believers. That's good men, or not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. And that's how divine healing is patient. Sometimes God does permit special things to happen. He always says, I'll believe. We all believe in a major, but maybe some has a little more faith in it. You know, while I'm in the preliminary part of the service, while we're waiting for the crowds together, I take the privilege of doing just a little speaking. So, in order, so let the people kind of understand what is the operation of the divine gift. Now the ministers and so forth, they go over and over and over again. But yet, I feel like it's my duty to the people. And now some of them actually have to hold over a little while. I'm sorry to have to do that. But I would rather you hold over just for a little while, stay a little longer meeting and really get healed, and to run through something and not know what you're doing, and go on out and then be criticized in the meeting and so forth. If you were down here at Mayo Clinic, or John Hopkins or something, they told you they had a month, you'd say, if you wanted to find it, but that's all right. But this is where we're trying to get to the people, and anyone, divine healing can reach with every person. And every person that is a Christian has a right to pray for the sick. That's right. If there's any among you sick, call the elders. That's the deacons of the church. And then he said, confess your fault for another and pray one for the other. That's everyone. And ask any man, any person, you don't have to wait for some divine healing service, some sensitivity. That's not God's program. If you're sick, it's from the Christian that helped you pray, so you have faith in that service. That's it. And that's all. Call your pastor. That's what we saw. To come and pray with you. If he's a godly man, which I believe that all true ministers are godly men. They're all born again Christians. They're godly people. That's true. And every one of them has a perfect life. Now, there may be things that God has added to the church to steal away faith, but now I'm gone. Healing isn't gone. Healing ought to be more than it was before we got here. That's the purpose, is to get the people in the mind, in the spirit of the latter days. We're in the latter days. Do you read that? We are. Well, the world is in the spirit of the latter days, but the church is not in the latter days spirit yet. In other words, we may be in a potion of it. But God wants his church so in the spirit so that he couldn't just any word of God to believe it. Latter day reign of the world. My, look at the place of eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, and all the immoral things in the world. The devil sure got his group in the latter days, spirit. But we ministers haven't got the church yet in that spirit. And we must be in that condition in order to be caught away in the rapture when he comes. That's why I remember one time I was using him on a great rubber car in nature. I saw a picture and I was wondering how much that picture cost. And it had a value on it, the original picture. The day I seen the picture, it was sitting there, Christ, the unseen guest of the house. I went in and put Christ in it. And it was just a photograph of all of the original masterpiece. And the masterpiece was valued way in the thousands and thousands of dollars. The artist said, well, the man who was like that, taken a man his lifetime to take that picture. And before any picture could be painted, or for it to be any masterpiece, first it had to go through the Hall of Critics, pass all these critics, and then if it passes those critics, then it comes in the Hall of Fame. This Bible is leading the nation. There you go. The same officer is in the world. Right here with us. Now. We're in the Washington area. That's a million verses right here. Now. Now, see the bathroom of the faith. And pay it. The little church is not the only one. People begin to laugh at it. They call it yours. Maybe not myself.
Is the substance of death. But sin
is the first sin or sickness. Without sin, there is no sickness. So sickness, the first I want you to know, is of the devil. Now, it's an old-fashioned thought that I'm going to speak of here in a moment. But I'm telling you, modern people with modern ideas might differ with this, but I'm not taking my thoughts and teaching upon modern theory. I'm teaching upon the Word of God. And the Word calls these things spirit. When the deaf and dumb spirit went out of them, he could speak and hear. Is that right? The doctor said that his nerves died in the ears. Well, he was dead. Like this man, where I was at, was dead. What was that? Well, the nerves never died all over. Well, the nerves just died in his ears. Or maybe dead. Well, what makes that difference? Why did the nerves die? Now, a doctor can only work upon what he can see or feel. That's the only thing that a doctor can look through a glass. Or he can do a telescope, x-ray picture. Or he can feel it in his hands. Human growth or whatever it is. Now that's what he has to work on. But when it comes to the nerve, or the end of that nerve, he knows the nerve is dead, but what? No. Now I say this upon the authority of the Word of God, it was a spirit which cannot be seen. Now, here it is. Just closely now. And if you people for a night or two will bear with me, and there are other people come in, you encourage them. And tell us how to do it. Now, watch closely. Now, hey, here's my hand. I'm going to put a St. Clair band around it, so like that. While my hand will begin to come dead, circulation shut off. All right, I can't use that hand as a rock. I go to a doctor looks at me and say, now, Mr. Graham, the only thing that I know is the nerves in your hand is dead. Well, I say, doctor, what killed it? Well, he said, I don't see no reason at all. I look, and it just goes up so far, and said, I don't know, something happened there. Well, if he couldn't see it, or feel it, he's cutting it, I don't see no reason. But the nerves just don't operate beyond this line. They just died from there. Now, but the hand's dead. Now, what happened? Now, I'm going to take that like the ear of a person, or the eye, or whatever, maybe in the part of the body. Through my thought of this, and through that, I believe the Bible doctrine, Satan bound that. And there had no circulation. Now, when I take this band off of here, I do not amputate the fingers and so forth, but here's the main, you have, before you find the cure, you have to find the cause. But here's the cause. And we take, and we know that to remove that, now that hand would be well right now, but it would be different. And circulation will begin to circulate, it'll begin to hurt and burn and feel a little different, and after a while, you dig, and it'll be all right. If you give nature a chance, it'll function correctly. Now, disease germs, that's just the power of Satan when it's back in the person. And when that spirit is cast off of there, nature will take care for itself. That person will go to marriage. Therefore, or whatever's wrong with them, they'll get well. Now, in my work, or my master, I deal with spirit altogether. Nothing natural. It's altogether spirit. And dear friends, I have to face this at the judgment bar of God. I want to go to heaven. I got a wife in heaven, I got a baby in heaven, I got loved ones there. But above all, I got one who died for me. Jesus. It means just as much to me as it does to any other guy. I can help my critics say, I can only state what I know is the truth. And if you'll be truthful and sincere, God will bless it. God wants you to be truthful and sincere. Now, let's just find out what diseases are. I guess the number one enemy today, of course, is heart stuff. But that's not a germ disease altogether. But number one enemy in germs are cancers. Second is tuberculosis. Cancer is one of the major things. Let's speak of that in just a moment. When you hear it this way, I don't get a chance to turn around. I'm not turning my back to you, but it's just natural to talk in the face of this microphone. But no, a germ. What is a germ? Now we take a cancer. What is it first? Why, it's a growth. Tumor, cataract, foreign, they're growth. Is that right? And they become malignant and cancer. Well, a growth is a multiplication of cells. And let's take down below that now. Below that growth, it's a group of cells, then it goes down to the germ. Well, what is a germ? A germ is a teeny little cell. Teeny little thing that can only be seen out of the natural eye with this microscope, glasses. Up below that, then, it's got life. It moves. It's got life in it. Up below that, in that germ, it becomes spirit. And there's only two resources that spirit can come from. That either from God or the devil. There's no halfway between. There's no halfway Christian. You ever see a drunk sober man? You ever see a black white bird? You ever see a sinner saint? You're either a Christian or you're a sinner. That's all I like about you full gospel people. You cut the line down, you're on one side or the other. If you're born again, if I'm born a human, I'm a human. When you're born a Christian, you're a Christian. Now, that's it. Let me just take this a little farther. Do you realize that you came from one little germ? That's right. Now, there it is. You came from one germ. There was a time when you wasn't nothing. Where you say here, you there, any of you. Myself was one little germ. Well, the germ of life comes from the male sex. We know that. Here, for instance, we can have a suicide brain. Birds lay their nest. And they lay their eggs. An old mother bird can lay their nest and lay it full of eggs. And she can lay that nest full of eggs without being with the male bird, too. And she could get on in and warm those eggs and hover and stay there until she got so poor so she couldn't get off the nest. And not one of those eggs would hatch. They would lay right there and rot in the nest. Is that right? Because they haven't been with the male, she hasn't been with the male bird, and therefore they're not fertile. That reminds me of a whole lot of those old formal churches. You just hover them around and twist them around and try to pass through the church. And that's what my age is. If they haven't been with a male side of Jesus, they're not believing in the first place. That's why what we need today is a good old fashioned cleaning out and getting right with God. Now,